Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Talks Machina airs live at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's also uploaded to youtube.com/Critical Role on Thursday mornings. If you like our podcast, please rate and review it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, here's this week's episode of Talks Machina. Are we on the internet?
Hey, Brian. I wonder what the twins are doing tonight.
Ooh. It is their birthday.
It is.
What do you think they're doing? You think they're getting, you know, playing laser tag? What do you do on your birthday? They're young, you know, they're younger than they look.
I'd love to play laser tag.
Laser tag?
That sounds fun.
Laser tag's probably not as much fun as an adult, right? We were talking about this the other day.
It's really, really fun if everyone else is super young, because then you can just smack them around.
It's fun when you can hit the kids.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun when they let you.
Well, if you just like hold the front of their armor and then just hold the laser gun to the front and they just keep shooting it every time it comes back and they can't get away because you actually outweigh them by like two times.
And then tickets keep popping out of their backpack
yeah,
and then
crying
you take
the whole
them.
Time. Yeah. You're like, whatever. Yeah. You'll get here one day, man. Yeah. I earn this.
You go get a big like Optimus Prime.
Matt's seen some shit on the laser tag field.
Oh, yeah. Let's not even go into that.
Yeah, well, we got time.
No.
We got time.
No, we don't. We have an intro to do.
An intro?
Brian. You're supposed to do an intro.
Tonight! The Mighty Nein chase their foe into the barbed fields, encounter terrifying creatures, and speak with the dead. Not much happened. But we'll break down what did with my guests, Allison Jaffe and Matthew Mercer. My goodness.
Guys.
A stacked couch tonight. All that and more tonight.
We're stacked.
On Talks Machina. I meant stacked. One second, mm-hmm. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. This episode, is it really Max? Is what this says true?
Absolutely.
My friends, this episode is sponsored by our friends and supporters of everything Critical Role, the Rook and the Raven.
Rook and the Raven!
Makers of handcrafted disc-bound gaming notebooks, which we've shown off on the show so many times, mm-hmm. Specifically designed for D&D and other role-playing games.
Yeah, you.
They have the unique little disc binding with the, you can easily add, remove pages, add to it. You can get the expansion packs and make it as, we use them in our home game right now.
Excited, I'm gonna use them in our staff game as well, because I have one as well, and I was like, ooh, that would be perfect.
How's that staff game going?
It's good.
Has anyone perished yet?
No, not yet, but we probably will soon. Okay. I would not be surprised.
Hey, Max, you playing that game?
Yeah.
Hey, go check out all of the Rook and the Raven's amazing stuff and support these critters right now at therookandtheraven.com. I'm going to go above the lower third, Zach, okay? Just because I don't want you to take it down.
Careful.
I'm going to be careful. You saw me stretching earlier.
Don't clean the cube.
Therookandtheraven.com/... Critical Role. We got a good team here, man. We got some professional people. And for a limited time, use the code CRITROLL when you check out and get $10 off your order.
It's pretty slick, actually.
This stuff's not even that expensive. They're letting people have $10 off. I got to make some phone calls. They're giving this stuff away.
You're worried, aren't you?
We have some other announcements. This one's a doozy.
Mm-hmm.
Next Monday, June 3rd, we have a very special one-off episode of Between the Sheets with our very own Ashley Johnson. We finally found the tape.
Finally saved up enough money to
fly her out here.
to pay her time.
We literally had to shoot it before a Critical Role episode because even though she's home right now on the break, sadly, did you hear her television show is having its last season next year?
So sad.
It's a real bummer, man. I read it in the trades.
But yeah, we filmed it. It's delightful. She hates talking about herself, but I was able to flirt and to do what I do and to get all the good stuff out of her, you know? It's gonna be great. That's gonna be at 7 p.m. Pacific this coming Monday, June 3rd, on our Twitch channel. Nuts. Also, we're already deep in the weeds on season 3 of Between the Sheets, and it's gonna return in August, and we're switching up the format a little bit. It's gonna be monthly instead of doing a season and then taking a bunch of months off, and then we're just gonna drop one every month. You get a Between the Sheets, boom.
Like the Punisher or Spider-Man, one a month.
Exactly.
Just like that.
Who do you think I learned it from?
We are exactly like the comic industry.
We are.
It's true.
Yes, I've often been quoted. Our My Little Pony one-shot, words I am so glad they just came out of my mouth.
I'm so excited.
Led by our buddy Mark from High Rollers, airs this Friday night, May 30. Well, it's night if you're, you know, in America. This Friday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Pacific on our Twitch channel. I've seen it. It is a fucking delight.
Good.
You got Markia, you got Ashley, you got Liam, you've got Roger Craig Smith. I called him.
Fucking believe
the greatest day of my life was calling him and asking him to do My Little Pony. I said, do you want to do this My Little Pony one shot we're doing? He's like, number one, yes. Number two, what is it?
He is one of the fastest, like most clever, quick, hilarious,
amazed.
And strange people I've ever met.
Amazed.
He's amazing. I love him.
Watch Mark try to keep up with Roger Craig Smith.
That's the reason I'm excited for it, like, honestly.
It's fantastic. Everybody was...
And Julie Everybody.
And Julie, so Jesus incredible. Christ. She's just like a... She's like... She's my Patronus
unicorn.
Is what she is, goddammit.
She's an actual unicorn.
She's an actual
she's a magical creature.
Beam of... She walks into the studio and, you know, it's like we all took mescaline.
Yeah.
It's like somebody cast daylight on a person.
That's so true.
I'm still cleaning glitter out of my cupboard from the last time.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Markia is amazing. Mm-hmm. Leopard finally getting hit on the channel for some stuff. Mm-hmm. She's just
everybody
good friend.
Brought their A-game.
Everyone rocks it.
Everybody brought their A-game to this My Little Pony one-shot. People weren't messing around. If you happen to miss the live broadcast, Tales of Equestria will be available on our YouTube channel on Sunday. Something fun to watch over the weekend. And finally, we are headed to Denver Pop Culture Con this weekend.
Yes.
Are you packed? Have you been stretching?
No.
Okay.
We're bad at stuff.
I'm hydrating. Oh, no.
No,
oh,
no, your water's
we're
brown.
Bad at stuff.
This is a bad start.
We're
this
bad adults.
Very,
yep. We've always been bad adults.
I've always been bad adults, but now.
You taught me how to be a bad adult, to be
thank
fair.
Thank you. I tried.
You did. You did well.
Cheers to that.
Cheers. Yeah.
And that's the rest of the show, gang. Wait, give me one more cheers. Zach, get this camera off me. Give me one. Look at each other and then cheers again.
We're gonna make
no, look at each other, goddammit.
Lovingly.
Look, yeah. And our squeef's awake. We have limited.
Not enough love in your eyes for that. I wanted more love.
You wanted more love?
One more time?
Yeah.
Wanted more love?
One more time. Okay. Just for you, Danny.
Just
boy.
This is for
all right,
Danny.
Ready?
Yeah.
No, you have to hear, you have to
give
imagine.
Me anime eyes.
No, okay. We need some Barry White in the background.
All
so
right.
Just imagine that. Ready?
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa.
See?
That went places I was not expecting.
Beautiful.
Danny, thank you for suggesting a second pass. That had an arc to
now
it.
I flash back to like a very particular there party was... about like 8 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You are
twists
all
and
welcome.
Turns.
That was where the party started.
Oh my God, you guys, we're on the internet
sorry.
Right
that
now.
That was the scavenger hunt. There was a lot happening that
yeah,
time,
yeah.
party.
Yeah, that was good. A good night.
What I was trying to say is, we have limited photo and autograph tickets for Denver available. At Denver.
Continue.
It's been a long day, man. Come on.
You're telling me I had to hang out with Travis Willingham for an hour. DenverPopCultureCon.com. We'll see you there this weekend. We're so excited.
Heck yeah.
Denver is known for its Mile Highness. I will too be known for that this weekend.
I found some interesting entries on the Atlas Obscura for Denver. So yeah, some fun stuff.
I'm excited.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
should I bring a lot of? Should I bring a wetsuit?
I mean, like your normal con wetsuit or something
yeah, not,
new.
It's not the one that I take into the ocean.
Then yeah, you should definitely bring that because it's mostly fresh water. What we're going to be hitting.
Bring a wetsuit. Bring a dry suit. And bring a suit intermediary.
A touch
moist
t-shirt.
Suit?
Yeah.
A gentleman suit?
A humid suit.
A damp suit.
There you go.
Without further ado,
so
let us discuss episode 64 of Critical Role Campaign 2, A Damp Suit.
Said a dangerous cake.
Max says you guys were talking too much and we have to rush the rest of the show.
Sorry.
12 minutes.
I'm sorry, Max.
We have some crit roll stats. That seemed really sincere. We have some crit roll stats from our friends at Crit Roll Stats. We love you so much. Thank you for keeping track of the phrase the end of the day, which was used 11 times in this episode.
Oh.
The end of the day?
The end of the day.
What was it trying to talk about?
It's probably me trying to explain things and being interrupted by Sam Riegel repeatedly.
Oh, boy.
You also kept
it's a
singing
real problem. Singing it, too.
That's true. It was the people were singing
at the end of the day.
That's nothing. It's by them. You guys are too good.
Yeah. I mean, eyes everywhere, right? Five things were invented canon in this episode. The phrase,
Ravioli?
Don't shoot the messenger. The phrase, don't beat a dead horse. The phrase, par for the course. The game of golf.
Yeah.
Ravioli.
Ravioli. That was my favorite, was inventing ravioli. Yeah.
That just perfectly explains a Critical Role episode, those five things.
Yep.
Laura held Jester's astonished look for 15 seconds.
Same, Laura. Same.
Between the core series and official one-shots, Critical Role has now aired over 800 hours.
Whoa!
Fuck.
It's time we stop now. This is
apparently.
It.
Apparently.
I don't think I've done
end.
Anything for 800 hours other than
you
this.
You played
at this
Critical
point.
Role.
This is the only thing I've done for 800 solid hours.
800 hours?
That's pretty crazy.
Between the core series and the official one shots? 800 hours? Are you guys getting paid for this? I haven't seen a goddamn.
I know. Somewhere Dick Wolf is hemorrhaging and he doesn't know why.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
Dick
like,
Wolf.
What? What's happening?
He's like, hold on a second. Someone is passing my.
These are their stories.
For the young people out there who don't know who Dick Wolf is, don't bother.
Don't
bother Googling him.
It's going to be the most boring Google.
It's going to be the
most boring. Unless you turn safety search off.
Matt, the first question for tonight.
No! Sorry. Continue.
Carry on.
This is what happens when we have a day off before this. We had the day off yesterday. We're being silly. Do not make me bring my new puppy in here.
I worked all day yesterday. Anyway.
He's not here. He's at home. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't make that threat.
He's going to be on the show soon, but right now he can't sit still for 5 seconds.
He's also a bear.
He's also a bear. He's 30 pounds already.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
That's a lot of dog, man.
It's a lot of dog. Thinking about someone being bigger than Henry is crazy, right?
Yeah, well, you're not going to have to imagine for long.
I know. He likes to bite on Henry's ears. It's cute, and Henry likes it. He's like, oh, let me do that. And then he's like, oh, dude, you're fucking huge. I'm like, wait, 2 weeks.
I have to put a GoPro on that.
We've all been
point.
There, though.
We have. Wait, put a GoPro on Matt?
Biting people's ears?
First question is for you, Matt, from Kate
yes,
Durth. Can you describe for us in detail just exactly how much fun it was not only DM for Stephen Colbert, but to watch his joyful grin reflected back at you as you shared in his one shot for Red Nose Day. You both looked so happy.
Speaking of moist suit, yeah.
That was well played.
Well played.
That was absolutely surreal. I'm still processing it. It was crazy. I mean, we all know how long I've been joking about this and talking about it as this not possible pipe dream.
It's like week one of discussing putting the show possibly
literally.
On the internet.
Yeah,
this was like a joke.
And jokingly at home, like when you have those conversations, be like, man, I bet it'd be fun to play with.
Yeah,
and like, and there's always that worry when you have the opportunity to meet somebody you. Been a fan of for that long, they might turn out to be a complete asshole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there was an element to me wanting to make sure that it was a good experience and hoping that it would be a good experience, and he was more cordial and warm and genuine than I could have ever hoped.
You made his fucking day, dude.
He made my fucking day! It was amazing! And like, I was so nervous, you don't know if you can tell, I'm like super nervous the whole way, definitely at the beginning, but then as soon as he began to open up and talk about his history and then began to get into the swing of it and kind of like, you know, finding those old muscles and flex them again, then it just got this comfortable like back and forth and,
yeah.
and seeing him have fun, I had fun, we kept smiling back and forth and the play was great and in the moment I couldn't even really enjoy it fully because I was wanting to just make it as fun for him as possible. And it wasn't until the following day where I got to see the first real cut of it that I began giggling like a child in my living room. And
yeah.
I'm just thank you guys for making this possible. It was absolutely surreal.
So cool.
I really enjoyed watching a first generation D&D player figure out what fifth generation what, like watching him learn, mm-hmm. like watching like decades of history happen of like,
yeah,
I can do this now? Oh, this is how this works? Oh. Mm.
And it's not all that different.
No,
listen
to a lot of doors.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
I listened before it got said a lot.
So much fun.
He was great. He was amazing. And I hope this isn't the last opportunity we have to do something with him. So, but it was. Even if it is, I'd be happy because it was so much fun.
I think he's got the bug again, dude.
Apparently,
he said I'm back in, man. He said I'm back in, and we were able to because of our insanely awesome community raise over $100,000 for child poverty for Red Nose Day, which is insane.
That's the thing, like that was fun and it was an experience, but the fact that we got to do that and as part of that raise so much incredible money for such an incredible charity through you guys.
Dude,
it's
win-win.
It's surreal. It's humbling. You guys blow me away constantly and I'm so excited to all the good that we have been doing and will continue to do as part of this community. It's amazing.
Yep. So cool. And your guys' cute little pictures with your red noses, my goodness. Yeah.
I was such a fan of the Red Nose Day charities. I used to watch them on the BBC because I love that's when you got all the fun Doctor Who.
Right, yeah.
I was a big fan of whatever Doctor Who did for Red Nose Day. So that was just like, they want us involved. Oh, God. Oh, man, no.
That's weird, right?
It's crazy.
It's weird. Taliesin, speaking of you, Joan Marie Dudley wants to know, Caduceus was the only one being civil with, is it Maru?
Maruo.
Yeah, Maru.
Maruo.
Don't know how to roll a vowel.
You say Maro?
I say Maro.
I say Maruoro, because that's how Matt told me to pronounce
that's
it.
That's fine.
Does the Mighty Nein's way of interrogating bother him? Did he wish they'd talk more and threaten less?
He's taking, I mean, things are happening. He's taking a very Mary Poppins sort of page with a lot of this, which is trying to teach through example of, see, when you are nice and polite to people, good things happen, and you get the things that you want, and everybody's satisfied, and you don't have to, you know, there's a time and place for violence, and not everyone's picking up the point, but he's...
Do you think they will eventually?
He hopes so. I know better.
Yeah.
That's not how D&D works.
I know.
No, he still has his chipper optimism, though. So, but I'm sure that'll, you know, what level are we at right now?
9.
Oh, yeah, that's going to go away. So.
Oh, but I love Pollyanna.
He is, yeah, I know, he is very Pollyanna. But, like, there's definitely a lot of, says he's a believer in civility.
Good, we got one.
I know.
We got one.
Somebody. And good things happen when you're civil. I really like in the game that when you're nice and you explain yourself, things work out pretty well.
It's true.
Caduceus' influence on the campaign and the other characters has been fascinating.
It's really fascinating, isn't it?
I love it. It's the whole dynamic has become so interesting.
You were so helpful in putting that together because I was like really, I mean, that, it was a crazy 3 days, 4 days trying to figure out what the fuck we were going to do. Yeah, and like conversations with you, I don't even know if you remember talking about what high wisdom, low intelligence looks like.
No, I remember that.
And like, I very specifically, it was like, you know, like at one point, I was talking about the difficulty with it, and you looked right at me and were like, oh, that's rough, buddy. And then just got up and was like, ah, that's what it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
that was rough, buddy. Like, tap, tap. I'm like, ah, all right. Got it.
That's when you know, dude. That's when you know.
Girlfriend turned into the moon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Is it an Avatar reference?
Avatar reference, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the movie. It was awesome, dude.
I will fight
you. Did you guys see that?
I will hate you.
I heard it's based on a cartoon. The next question is for Matt Mercer.
There's a 1980s cartoon museum in Denver that we can go to and hopefully...
There is?
Yeah.
But do they reference the movie, though, and then in the display?
Continue, please.
The blue guys? You're thinking of Avatar, though. These are this one came out after Avatar. DJ Label Klein, I don't know what the fuck this is.
I felt Marisha try and punch you through the internet.
Yeah.
That's why I keep looking that way towards the hallway, and then I just see Craig's legs. In situations like Speak with Dead, Matt, the DM has a lot of control over how forthcoming to be. What did you factor into the choice of how much to give up from the severed heads? Was it just the high quality of the Mighty Nein's deception, or did you also feel that they needed some more breadcrumbs?
No, that was, when I think of those scenarios, I think one, whatever it is that died, what is their relationship with the person who's asking? Mm. And the type of questions that are being asked, what do they have to lose by giving this information up? If the questions being asked are things that could be detrimental to allies or whatever the fallen family figure was, so they're, you know, they're not going to be forthcoming with any of that information.
Of course.
But they're also, it's also information that isn't the actual soul of the creature there. It's just information being recalled with a sense of, you know, those factors involved. And so the deception honestly did better than I expected. I was kind of hoping to hold on to some of that information, to be perfectly honest. And breadcrumb that a little further, but you guys pulled together kind of a fun little plan there, and I was like, "Well, I'm gonna reward that."
Yeah.
So.
I had a feeling. I was thinking about this for. I keep covering my mouth when I do that. I was thinking about this for a while that this was a act that had been done many, like if you're running basically what is a funeral home, mm-hmm. and you have powers and people, this is available. One of the things that occasionally had to have come up is when you have to interrogate a cadaver over some information, or like give somebody some information from somebody who's passed on. And so this is probably
In D&D.
Specifically, I was specifically thinking of the Clay family, specifically as this is a thing that they do. So this was a thing he had watched happen many, many times of you put on a form, you talk to a body, and then you go talk to the family and tell them what they need to know or whatever information. And this was like, I can't believe I'm going to abuse this weird thing that we normally do for very specific reasons, but fuck, here we are. And you know,
I like that.
Yeah, like this was definitely a. I've seen this done, and I'm gonna in better circumstances. So yeah.
This guy's got some layers, man. This Caduceus dude. I want to focus on him a little bit, but I know we're gonna really get there.
Season 2 of Hannibal is a good take on. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but just stop there.
Yeah.
Just stop after season 2. Matt, Astro Decoy wants to know the history check. That history check was a 26. How high was that DC to find out about? Is it Charis?
Charis.
Also, no, you don't. Also, ironic, such an important place is spelled so closely to chairs.
That's interesting.
Oh, I don't like that look one bit.
Oh, no, is this anything based on the Ottoman Empire?
All by any chance? Around me are familiar.
Terrible, I am so sorry.
No,
the chairs.
I'd set the DC for that to be about 27, 28.
Oh,
there.
Whatever.
Because it's
just
because of the nature of what
did,
it is.
Just above what they did.
I didn't want to put it at 30 because it wasn't, you know, near impossible.
Yeah,
but
I
like,
gotcha. I gotcha.
It's close to there. It's a very, very, very hard to find thing place that has almost no knowledge about it whatsoever. And the few that do would never have crossed paths with any of the people that are in the campaign. So I figured that would be a very, very high DC. And none of them would really have that information. Unless they rolled really fucking high, so I was like,
"We don't have an archaeologist in the group. We don't have
exactly." Yeah. You have a member of the Cobalt Soul, but you have a person who is, you know,
expositors,
an expositor.
Really
that yeah, they, she wasn't like the most studious, independent, and
is
so
that a background archaeologist. Can you?
I mean,
have,
you'd probably do it with something like Sage.
Mm-hmm.
You would have
scholar.
To just kind of homebrew it a little bit and just make that their backstory.
And there are variations in some of the other like ancillary books that have come out since then that can fit into that space.
Ooh,
as well.
A sage ranger, I bet, would be an archaeologist.
That's a good Indiana Jones what's
Next
the character from The Mummy?
Next character, I'm playing a sage ranger who's an archaeologist.
Yeah, when yours
a
dies
sanger.
In the
yeah, exactly, because she probably
office
will.
Office game because Christina's will run you over with a. Something or other. Taliesin, Inquisited wants to know. The Caduceus we saw during the corpse interrogation was much more intense than the calm Clay we usually see. Was he putting on an act, or is there a very different side of Caduceus that we haven't seen yet, like the one we would see around his family?
Both. I'll say both. It was definitely an act because he'd seen this done before and was trying to kind of do the college theater get up and kind of do a thing, and it just happened to work out really well. I don't know if it would have always worked out really well, his attempt to kind of like get on stage and perform for somebody who's gone. But also, yeah, there's, I mean, I know a few people who are pretty zen in their reality, and they're not always like, you tend to, there are layers, but.
Yeah.
But.
Who's the most zen person in the cast of Critical Role?
The most zen person in the cast of Critical Role? Oh, I mean, like.
Who's the chillest?
Ashley, maybe.
Probably.
Or Travis. Ashley, yeah. But like, Travis is not very chill, but like.
Did you watch Game Ranch today?
I
saw some of it,
you.
but like.
He was screaming like he was on fire himself. Yeah,
this is more of a judgment on us rather than like, there's just no one chiller, really, is part of the problem.
There isn't.
And that's us. Well, Ashley is the closest to chill we have.
Yeah. Do you know what's the fucking chillest shit in the world?
Ice.
Cosplay of the week.
Yeah, it is.
Steve, you saw it. Steve, you blew it.
Good segue. Yeah.
Man, what a segue.
Cosplay of the week. Oh, look at that. Art.
Yeah, the graphic's great.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Someday someone's going to make a Molly coat with the Cosplay of the Week logo on the back.
Oh, that'll be great.
It's too late. I said it now.
I'll wear it.
Why do you mean?
I don't know why. I'm sorry.
You know better.
Hey, gang, our winner for this week was sent in by Alec McLeod at Gravitia Cosplay. It's going to be on the screen. Photo by at Hope and Ashes. Let's take a look. Ooh, this one's good.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So good.
So good. Nice
wow,
rig.
That's awesome.
Perspective too.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad we're finally getting.
I miss snow. Long hair too.
I miss snow. Snow is great.
Hey, maybe if we're lucky up this weekend at Colorado.
It could.
It's been weird.
It's a lot of detail going on there.
Yeah.
Congrats to you, Alec.
Well done, Alec.
You have won this Bolivian Rosewood tabletop tray from our friends at Wormwood Gaming. Our winner for Fan Art of the Week will also be.
Yeah.
This one is especially. Look at how beautiful.
It's got a lot happening in there.
I'm gonna have to take this.
Wait, because it's got the weird stripe, the tiger stripe going through it. It's great.
Let's tell Bobby at Wormwood to go ahead and send Alec a different one because this one's gonna. Oh, guys, this one's gonna come home with me. Smell that while I prepare this question for my next victim, which is.
Nice.
You know what sucks?
Yeah, that's really. It smells
isn't
good.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's really nice. Yeah. Man, box huffers, nice. Right here.
Box sniffers?
Box huffers.
Box huffers?
Box huffers.
Don't Google
it. Steve, Google it before the kids do.
Please don't.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Don't give me that look. I said nothing wrong. Every week during either Fan Art of the Week or Cosplay of the Week or what used to be GIF of the Week, the iPad just restarts for no reason. And then I stall while I look up this question for Matt from Loopty Dude.
Yes, that's a really good stall.
It's not an iPad, it's a generic tablet.
Mm-hmm.
If it was an iPad, it'd work perfectly. Was it a surprise that the Mighty Nein would accept taking a path through the barbed fields as easily as they did, or was it pretty much a given that they were going to?
I was a little surprised by it. There wasn't much of a debate about it. It just kind of happened. I probably lean on Travis a lot for that, for just being the instigator that he is at times.
There was going to be a debate, and then Travis happened, and we're like, nope, never mind.
There's a whole, it's a longer journey. It's a safer journey. There were a couple other possible encounters that could have happened along that path, but they went, no, let's just drive right through the middle of the scary place. I'm like, all right.
Assume for me, if you will, his motivations in doing that.
It's Travis. He's always a big believer in the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I love it. As a DM.
No, he is very much a believer in.
But that. I was expecting there to be like resistance from you guys when he did that. I was like, oh, Travis. But no, seriously.
I thought about it.
And everyone went, cool. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, I thought about it.
All right, we're going. Let's go right through the middle of a fucking barbed field.
I kind
of
want to see this shit anyway. Yeah.
Crazy thing about Travis in this campaign and Ford is that he is both an agent of chaos and an agent of order.
I think that's, Travis is, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's also part of, Ford's journey is if Ford's trying to figure out which he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of his. He's a whole character who's been struggling with just identity since the very beginning, and I think that's part of his journey too, is figuring out like what it is, what kind of force he wants to be on the world around him.
Yeah.
And he's swung both ways as far as like being a completely destructive, chaotic force to trying to be a leader, to trying to be a force for good, and I don't know where he's going. I'm real interested to see.
Me too, man. Mysterious. Taliesin, Zachary Powell wants to know your thoughts on the group's, or Ford's more specifically, excitement to travel to the Barfields. A desecrated spot like that would definitely rub Caduceus the wrong way, right?
He wanted to see it, I will admit. There was the moment of like, and he's also, yeah, Caduceus had a weird near-death experience that's kind of left him a little nutty. I don't want to say nutty, that's not right, that's not nice. I'm not going to say he's making the best, he's not in the headspace to be making the best decisions right now.
I got you.
But he was kind of, there's something about this whole place that bothers him on an intrinsic level, and he feels very much like he wants to get a better sense of the place. And so he had a moment of like, that seems dangerous, that's, you know, we're going to have to see this eventually, fuck it, let's roll through and see what this is, because we need to get a sense of the territory.
I like that about him, versus, oh, this seems weird or dangerous, I'm getting out of here.
It doesn't matter if it's weird or dangerous, we're on a...
He wants to understand it.
We're on a mission from the goddess, and so everything we do is right.
It's very true. This is Blues Brothers, though.
It is.
We're on a mission from Gad.
His sunglasses reference was going.
Yeah, he's having a hard time, like, his risk assessment is a little off right now. Is what I'll say.
What happens when you get exploded by an ally?
It is.
To be fair.
I'll never forget the look on Sam's face.
Oh my God.
That was a great night. That was a great night that will live forever.
Fucking beautiful.
It's rare that we get one of those moments where you've really got him, you know, like
Sam especially. Sam's quicker than anyone gives him credit for. Like he's a strategist, though he plays the fool. And it's rare to see him completely thrown off his game like that.
Wait, who doesn't give him credit for being quick? You're saying that anyone gives him credit for it.
Well, some people do on the internet.
I do, he's a comedic genius.
Right, but he acts like he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing all the time.
Yeah, but that's his ploy. You know how I act like a edgelord douchebag, but then when the cameras are off, I'm like, hey guys, you know?
Can't agree with that.
I think the only thing, the cameras make you quieter. I haven't really figured out that they do anything else.
Is there a way we can just always have like a camera on, Brian?
No.
All right.
I laugh at the truth.
It's been a while since I broke you. I was hoping, not quite. Okay, not quite. I can wait. I'm a patient man.
Man, I love you guys.
I love you too, buddy.
Love you, man.
I can dish it out and I can take it. I just end up crying.
Man.
Because it's so true and it hits so close to home. Because it hits home. You know, it's not even close to home, it's home.
I'm so distracted by the amount of denim you're wearing right now that I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, giving some love to my Canadian friends, you know, except Quebec. I wore the old Canadian tuxedo. Steve's not from Quebec.
You said Canadian friends.
Except Quebec.
He loves it.
Quebec or my people.
I'm trying to get to the questions, everyone.
Yes, please.
Matt Solar NL wants to know.
Yes, please.
The Sorrow Sworn, did I say that right?
Yes.
We're truly terrifying this episode. When you create encounters with some of the stranger creatures, what do you focus on to make these creatures feel as weird and as terrifying as they are?
Oh, man. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that'll do.
Sorrow Sworn in particular are just a fascinating creature because their design is inherently based in emotions. They are creatures that represent different negative emotions, and that kind of ties to their you know, Shadowfell lineage and their essence. And so that's already a great basis to go off of.
Yeah.
But then it's looking at their abilities, looking at their history, and then for me, I just love doing creature noises and coming up with weird physical quirks and things to really drive home moments that I want to feel like a horror film, you know, or things that can, you know, play on players. Who aren't expecting that type of scenario, like Travis. And Travis is just such a great sounding board anyway. But like, I knew I was probably gonna get Travis. I didn't know I was gonna get as much of the table as I did with it. And a lot of that also ended up being improvised. The whole like rushed movement, you know, that just kind of came out in the moment. But a lot of that is just thinking about the creature and what freaks it out, you know, what freaks you out about it, and then taking those little pieces and leaning into them when you have the opportunity to introduce them to the party.
Not yeah. Dead
you basically
either.
Made a jump scare with dead. Just your voice. It was crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to have that big a reaction.
It was so great.
I walked away from that battle very proud.
Please do it more often.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, not undead, Cyrus Warren.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good, well, you're still There's still a lot of barbed fields to go through. So
oh, man, I'm really into it.
Yeah, yikes. Talison.
Good times.
T. Mandy the Second. You have explained how Cad views the differences between the living and the dead, but how does he view otherworldly or twisted creatures like you just fought?
Oh, man, I haven't had time to even process that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has really thought about it, and I'm curious to see how that's going to play out in his brain. I don't really, he was pretty confused through a lot of that fight. He didn't really get frightened. He didn't really have like a grotesque, the grotesque effect didn't really like hit him where he lives, and he's used to seeing some weird stuff. But it was, he was mostly unnerved that these were not the undead, that this was something else. That was mm-hmm. really, really unnerving to him, that this is now something he can't see and that he's not really prepared for was kind of, was a lot. And then having a Caleb go unconscious was definitely a bit of a fright.
Yeah.
And having to bolt him back to life pretty quick.
Yeah.
What's his AC at?
It's like 11.
Wait, Travis? I mean,
No, Caleb.
Like 11. Caleb, I think it's 13.
Might be 12 now with the ring.
With the ring, it's 12, unless you cast Mage Armor, which goes up to 15, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Yasha's still a hearty 11.
Yasha's at 14, though.
No, Yasha's like, her AC is like 11.
Her AC is
low. I'm pretty sure it's 14, because it's for barbarians, it's Dex plus Constitution.
Yeah, hers is like 14 or something that. It's not crazy low.
She has plus 2 Dex and plus 2 Con, so I think she's at a 14.
Well, she might be at a 14. I'm just
but she also hasn't been around for when you guys got a lot of upgrades and stuff. And
yeah.
Things might just be.
That's going to change. I don't know if you guys heard, but this next season of her show is going to be the final one.
It's true.
I mean,
it's all I asked for Christmas.
Same. For 4 years.
Great team, yeah. Great people
the
involved.
The show is parody.
The show is wonderful. Show we is just miss Ashley. Yeah.
Carno Lesbian has a question for Matt to change the subject quickly before NBC calls me. How is it getting to flesh out Jorhas? They don't know what Twitch is. Which is a very different region than what we've seen before. When building a culture of largely monster races, how do you work to make it feel distinct while avoiding cliches and stereotypes? This is a really good DM.
That's a great question. A lot of it was studying the existence of monster races and a lot of like D&D lore, mythological lore, and wanting to just do the best I can to steer clear of falling into those pits, but not completely pull them out of their history and where they come from. You know, there are some creatures that might exist in that space, like in Tal'Dorei. You know, there are still a dark elf society that falls, you know, that worships Loth, but have been driven crazy. But for this particular, for Jorhas, I wanted to reinvent a lot of those elements and just develop a society that would be unexpected. But and that process, that beginning process, was then me going, okay, well, how would they function together? What would happen if they weren't tethered to these, you know, demon lords and other entities that seemed to drive them to this chaos? And then it began to just breed into, clans, nomadic clans, and then people that live off the land that probably warred amongst themselves, and then some were unified via clan unions, and then especially under the guidance of those who wished or chose to join with the dynasty, what tensions would arise because of that, but also what benefits to each side would enable that to happen. A lot of it was trying to understand what's problematic about some of these creatures and how they're presented in some types of games. Try to avoid that, and then develop enough independently of these cultures and how they would exist outside of that realm, and then kind of watch what happens naturally. You know, it's kind of a cool thing with world building. People who've done some world building with their own campaign will understand that when you build independent sections of the world to a certain extent, and then kind of as a thought experiment, think, what happens if they were to come together? It kind of begins to write itself.
Yeah.
Just making logical thoughts, like, well, it makes sense that they would do this, and these people would do this, and this would cause this problem, and these people might help that with that problem. And it's kind of like a programmer that develops a system, and then just puts in a few variables and says, what happens?
Yeah.
And you get to watch it unfold.
Yeah.
It's a similar thought experiment when you're world building like that. So. For me, it was building up all these little separate individual elements of Jorhas, and then seeing what would happen as they came together, and then it kind of wrote its own history. And It was a lot. It was really fun, very different experience than anything else that I've written. And
I
love Xhorhas and the dynasty and everything about it. I'm excited. You guys got there sooner than I expected.
I'm
so
really
I definitely had to like crank the gas a bit on fleshing out some of that world building. But I'm really enjoying it.
Were we even supposed? I'd say supposed to. I know this.
There's
is
no supposed to.
There's but no I was supposed to. Were you surprised that we got the dodeca, or were you? Was that something? Did you have a plan for that?
That you got it, you mean?
That we managed to obtain the dodeca.
I knew it was a possibility.
Okay, that's why.
Which is why you guys lost it. Like it was a thing where it was, you know, depending on if you just stayed out of this and like ran, it wouldn't have happened. But if you had enough curiosity, which I knew as players you might, you would probably try and find out what's going on, and you know, went to the sewers and where intersected with this Korean soldier. And then there was a conflict with them, which you could have killed him and taken it. You kept him alive and let him leave with it. And I was like, all right, well, it's gone. But then you decided to, you know, I was like showing you, well, it's kind of showing you the consequences of what you did. Now you see the you know, the Crown's Guard taking it. So there you go. You fucked up. Now they have it. can't really say fucked up. It just meant that it would have returned
to
it.
No, of course. I mean, I was laughing just because of how cute it was.
But you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But then you guys are like, all right, we're going to hatch a plan to try and get it back. I'm like, all right, let's see how this works out. And you did. So, like, you know, I try and create things where I have ideas on what you might do, and sometimes you do it, sometimes you completely subvert my expectations.
I feel like we haven't screamed pub crawl in a while, which is probably for the,
you know,
at
haven't.
Some point. Yeah, at some point that'll happen
you
again.
Haven't. You haven't done a Rosona.
Xhorhas?
Pub crawl?
Pub crawl and Rosona would be fun.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a pub crawl. I'm certainly not the player that's going to yell it, because this is not what Clay's about.
That's true. Tea house crawl.
Yeah.
It'll be that.
You know. Juice crawl.
Juice crawl, there
juice
you go.
Crawl. Juice
there you go.
Crawl.
We're going for smoothies.
Woo! Tea crawl.
It's smoothie time.
That was basically what happened at Ren Fair.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true. I'm very quiet. I don't imbibe the way I used to anymore. That's very true.
Did you guys get smoothies at Ren Fair?
We did. We got smoothies.
I got
a strawberry apple smoothie. It was great.
I got locked in the security office.
Yeah, I helped with that.
Oh, so that call did go through.
Yeah.
God,
I told you I could pull it off.
Excellent.
He's got connections.
I know people.
I'm beginning to suspect my betters were involved in this. Taliesin Costumer Delight wants to know.
Hello, Costumer.
You had a very visible reaction to Laura when she went into the Overcrow in disguise and used her Vex'ahlia voice. What was going through your head? Did that inspire your Percy-like diplomacy with Mayro?
Percy-like diplomacy. I was nice and I made no threats.
But there has to be a connection, Taliesin.
But Taliesin, it was definitely
if something
Percy.
Happens, it has to flavor every element of your character choice.
Technically, no, it was I was not expecting that voice. It had been a while, and I'm also, part of me was like, what part of Jester is being channeled right now? Yeah. Holy.
She's learning from Ford's deception.
I was having a moment of like, so. Who are you?
Yeah.
I haven't been thinking. Yeah, I definitely had a moment of, I have not been paying enough attention, apparently, because I don't know what the fuck this is.
Man.
Oh, no.
I know.
Who have I gotten involved with?
It's good to hear that voice, though.
I know, yeah, I missed it.
It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. Do you know what else is good for the soul, guys?
Fan art
of the week.
Yes!
Well, yay. I knew it.
You stepped on my line.
Fan art of the week!
Yeah, I did.
Woo! Happy birthday, Art Dad.
Oh, who's
the goodest boys? That's the goodest boys. Oh,
Art Dad and Vex Mama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This week's fan art winner for Campaign 2, episode 64 was sent in by Sunset Dragon at @SunsetDragon_. Let's take a look. This is cute. This is so, you guys.
Oh, I didn't see this.
That's adorable.
Yeah, let's look at Eric.
Oh, there's lollipops and donuts in the wings with little moons.
It's so cute.
Oh my god.
Jester Moth is adorable.
Jester Moth is amazing. I mean, they're both adorable.
Is still there.
I know.
Oh man.
Oh, Eric. You pretty bee. Ah, that's so cute.
He died doing what he loved.
Being a bee.
Being
slapped against someone's neck.
What?
Okay.
Thank you to everyone who submitted. Congrats to you, Sunset Dragon. You have also won this, not this one, because I got to take this home, unfortunately, but a Bolivian Rosewood tabletop tray. You can enter our weekly contest. Now, this is important because it's changed. You can enter by visiting critroll.com.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
/submit. For rules for our contest are available at critroll.com. thank you to Wyrmwood for, again, sponsoring fan art and cosplay of the week, which was cool of them to do. So both our winners of the week are getting a badass gift.
So glad we got that up and running. That's good.
Me too. Yeah. It's going to be going for a very long time because there is a lot of fucking insanely good cosplay out there.
I saw the first one submissions and it nearly broke me.
And the gallery.
Yeah.
The gallery is amazing. Okay, all right. Well, don't get me started with shit. Talison?
Yeah.
Megan Hannah wants to know. Mm-hmm. After the Mighty Nein thoroughly humiliated the four men of the mine, Caduceus said that was the meanest thing he'd ever done to someone not related to him. Can you share any stories of the pranks Clay has pulled on his siblings?
Well. I suppose this would not be uncanonical if I will say that one of the things that I thought about when I was thinking of the sorts of terrible things that not I would do to my siblings, because I've done terrible things to my siblings, but I am also the eldest in my family and he is not the eldest in his, and so the power dynamic's a little different.
Yeah.
I would like to imagine that at one point in a fit of anger at his sister, he and a couple of the other of the siblings very, very quietly over several hours in the middle of the night, slowly lifted them in their bed by the mattress, carried them on the mattress while sleeping very slowly out of the house and placed them in one of the trees surrounding the temple.
Damn, without
and let them wake up in a tree.
That's pretty slick.
Did they fall down and get hurt?
I would imagine they probably either fell out of this tree or
scream.
Had a bit of a panic attack waking up in a tree.
Cure wounds, first level.
Take care of it. I mean, like, we're not all clerics, never mind, but like, there's clerics there. You know.
There's clerics there.
There's a few. Whatever, it's gonna be fine.
What a cool sibling. Be awesome.
They're, yeah.
You're terrible.
Also definitely left a single scar across the face to remember them by.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Just kidding, no, God, no.
Oh, goodness, at what age did you do this?
Just kidding, no.
Boy, my thoughts on him is really changed.
Yeah, I know.
That's hilarious. Thank you for sharing that story.
He was terrible. No, I'm just kidding.
Matt.
Turns out he's a psychopath.
I know, we saw, bam, hey. Man, the other week Marisha reveals she's the big bad, now Taliesin's going on about, this is crazy.
Got
him. We're getting a lot of scoops.
Did that happen? Man, I'm so glad I don't watch
the
show.
Yeah, don't watch the show.
No.
Robert Elstob wants to know for Matthew.
Robert, Marshall. Yes. Robert.
With the unexpected shift to Xhorhas, have you found it difficult coming up with new creatures to make encounters interesting?
Not really, because if I can't find anything in the book that works, I'll just make something up. You know,
you do have a little workshop out there where you.
Well, that's one. You can proxy minis for it,
of course,
which I do often, because you'll notice not all the minis are available, or I have them. But, one of the fun things about this game is if it's not in the book, you can just go ahead and create it yourself.
You used to make some crazy ass minis back in the day for some.
I used to kit bash.
I'm not going to mention anything you kit bashed in case you end up using it for this, but like there was some stuff you made, and I think you know the thing I'm talking about. That fucked me up, man. That was crazy.
That wouldn't fit in this. I made a thing called a Dragon Engine once in an older campaign.
Fuck.
it was designed to be essentially an engine that built a disease that turned all dragons in this world slowly into crystal.
Shit.
And in this one campaign, the dragons themselves, their existence was what kind of held all the different planes together. Like they were not like good or bad, their essence magically held all of the planes together, and so the more dragons died, the more the planes began to like bleed over, and the elemental chaos began to break
Chunks
into the
of
world.
Chunks of that come from the dollar store, if I recall, because like there were the,
yeah,
like, that
yeah.
thing.
I cut up a bunch of things, and it was like a fleshy doll head that had like all this. I covered with hot glue to make it look all weird and malformed, and then like cut up a bunch of dragon pieces and gave it like wings in odd places, and then painted it to look.
It had like tentacle bits and like it had like the weird and there was the giant weird head
and it. My inspiration for it, and for those that don't know, there's a game, the Darkstalkers series. Uh-huh. In one of the Darkstalkers games, they had a level, one of the boss levels called Fetus of God, that was like this giant, horrible, like god fetus in the background that would like at the end of a fight would like wake and scream this like earth shattering scream. It was messed up.
Whoa.
The big inspiration for the design for this. But it had like an umbilical tether off of it that was that during the fight would whip around and players had to avoid it or be knocked off, and it was really messed up.
And he added that to the. I mean, like that thing was
to be in the map.
That thing was so intense, and like finding out that you just fucking made it out of 99-cent store bullshit was so irritating.
You find some cool stuff in 99-cent store to glue together and make strange things.
It was. It looked legit though. We were like, "What catalog did you find this thing out of?" And you're like, $4. I'm like, no.
Well, like, honestly, if you get some hot glue, you can make veins on things really easy, and then when you paint it, you just put, like, a little bit of blue on it against, like, a red or purple backdrop, and it looks like a
really
skinless, you know, surface. Yeah. There's a lot of cool, cheap, super inexpensive tricks to make really messed up looking minis.
This thing was nightmare fuel.
Fun to fight, too. It was fun to fight.
It was a fun fight.
Yeah, it was good.
Nobody from our home game watches this show regularly. Pat and I kitbashed a Leshen for this, like, because we have nine fucking players.
Yeah, yeah.
And we wanted a big, so we got this Witcher, like, Witcher statue, and then we've been, like, just, but it's getting ridiculous.
Are you going to use that for the fight?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
That's going to be so cool!
I'll tweet it after I'll tweet it after we kill a couple of them.
Yeah, 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 I want to see it,
Taliesin.
Yeah.
Skydar Studios, considering his goal to save is to save his home, Caduceus seemed eager to move into the Jor house, yeah, and start long-term living plans. Does he see this place as a fallback home in case he's unable to complete his goal, or is he simply taking a minute to bloom where one is planted?
He had that conversation with everybody. That was the, are we staying here or are we not? Because if we're staying here, I'm gonna get comfy with that. But if we're not, he's aware that this is not about movement. If that makes sense,
yeah.
That he is on a quest, and if part of that quest is staying in one place for a while, then that's what he's supposed to do. It's he's not measuring his success via distance. He is waiting for the next sign of what to do, and the sign at that moment was stay put. So he is doing his best to do what he feels is necessary to solve this very weird mystery. And if we're staying put, that means that the mystery is involved with something nearby, which is why he's so interested in what's around and what's happening in this place, is that he feels it is very likely connected.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, something that is there is going to lead him to what he needs to see next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, while there are places he needs to get to, it's not about getting there. That's not going to be what solves the problem.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah. Matt, this question is about Caleb. It's from Dickamon. I never know.
Dickamon, what's up, bud?
Liam posed this question last week.
Yeah.
Was Dunamancy something that would have always been a part of the plot, or was it an aspect from Caleb's backstory that you decided to incorporate into the overall story?
No, it had nothing to do with Caleb's backstory. It was something that came to me on my honeymoon before he had made Caleb as a character.
Oh, shit.
Like, when I was developing the Kryn Dynasty and Dunamancy, a lot of that inspiration just came on me emerged from our honeymoon.
Such a typical honeymoon.
I know, you tell me?
Jesus, if I had a nickel. My uncle had the same shit.
See, there you go. See, yep. As long as we're in the same boat. So yeah, it wasn't tailored for Caleb. It just happened to be when Caleb's story was brought to me, I was like, oh, well, that might be an interesting tether whenever that, if ever, that connection comes across, you know, as part of the narrative.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of reading what Liam's plans are with Caleb and all that.
People underestimate coincidence, man. There's so much coincidence.
That
feels intentional, but I know for a fact isn't. Really bizarre.
Like, there'll be things where people, like, I'll see on the Reddit or stuff, people will be like, oh, I can see the connections here and there, and every now and then I'll see, like, okay, no, wow, someone picked up on those themes. Those are intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, like, 60 to 70% of the time I'm like, holy shit, you're right, that's crazy.
Yeah, because coincidence.
Yeah, it's just sometimes serendipity works in your favor, and that's part of the magic of the improvised narrative of role-playing games is you all stumble through this space and you're all reactive and finding the story as it comes. When things do fit, it feels magical, but that's also just kind of what happens when no one knows what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
mm-hmm.
that does connect feels like it was destiny.
It was meant to be.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Just all like the number 9.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it's true. Taliesin, Dan Sagers wants to know, where does Caduceus stand in the Empire's Jor-Has War? Does he even care?
On the what?
The war.
Between the Empire and Jor-Has.
He is not a part of either of, I mean, like, he's not from either of these places. This is a foreign war that he has fucking nothing to do with. At best, he doesn't really like the Empire because they get a lot of the scraps of that, and so it's kind of shitty. But, like, I mean, he doesn't... I don't think he has the intelligence to really form an opinion on it beyond... I don't like whatever's happening that I see in front of me. Like he's very big on, like, whatever's happening in front of me, I either approve or disapprove of. So anything more complex than that politically is just kind of very hard for him to grasp.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, he has no opinion one way or the other between the two of them. They're both two foreign countries in a fighting war that he has absolutely no stake in or understanding of. I mean, yeah, they're both utterly foreign to him, I suppose would be the. Yeah, is there anybody else who's not? I mean, like, there's really not that many Empire kids, the more I think about it, like, officially.
No, because we have Ford and Chester were both Menagerie Coast, and I mean, we have, yeah, not Caleb and Beau are the only real
citizens of somewhere. Yeah. Well, yeah, well, I guess technically
and
Yasha.
Yasha was Jorhas, but she wasn't part of the dynasty either. She was out in the Iothia, you know, Moorlands. So the only ones that have any real connection are both Beauregard and Caleb, only because they have actual connections to that society, you know, had more of a rural, not politically invested lifestyle.
This is a foreign war between two countries, only one of which he's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's
a good point. He's not really thinking of it that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just like, that guy looks hurt. That's kind of as far as he's very big on what's in front of him.
What if what's west of Westeros is Wildmount? Ford could kick everybody's ass.
What's west of Westeros is UCLA. She went to college. She went to California and went to college. That's what happened.
She did.
It'd be great. Ari can come into our world.
The spinoff is a college show. It's just
that
like,
would
I'm
be
going,
fucking sick.
I'm going to like,
watch the shit
I'm going
out
to Westwood.
It would be called Daria, and it would be spelled D-A-R. Because remember Daria?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That'd be great.
One for the 90s kids.
Ari, come and join the narrative in the world.
Is that the name of the show, Greg?
We'd have a better ending.
Yeah, Matt.
Yes,
it's a different.
Seducis Clay has a question for you.
Got my favorite.
The greatest screen name of all time, behind Arsqueef and Pullout King, and REO Teabaggin'.
Mr. Steal Your Vegetables.
Was Shikaste's current whereabouts something you made up on the spot, or do you have a rough idea where all the old guest characters are at any given time?
No, I made that up on the spot. I had no idea that Shikaste was going to come up in any of that, and I was like, oh. Okay, where would he be? So it was a series of just quick, rational decisions in my brain of like where he would probably be based on the things he was trying to accomplish, and yeah, I completely made up.
I want to end every episode now with like a flash. I wonder what Shikasta is doing right now. Have everyone look up. just you know, playing Overwatch or something. I don't know. What
yeah,
he's
yeah.
Ooh, what would Shikasta's main be?
I don't know. I have nothing. I know, this is really.
Yeah. I got an idea.
Oh, you
Sorry.
Think so?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's good that you got it out. You got one here.
It shat itself.
Yeah.
I shat myself.
I
Sorry. I get one.
Nope.
Just one.
When are we getting a McCree short?
Last year?
Just kidding. It made me cry so many times. All of them make me cry, God damn it.
They're good. They're good.
Diva one's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Reinhardt, though. Reinhardt's made me cry, too.
Oh, sorry. Bash is my favorite because it's the most Miyazaki-esque. Mm.
It is. Hella.
I still just lose it every time.
Do you saw John Wick 3?
Yeah.
No, what'd you think?
As we saw yesterday.
I assume it's just.
Think,
it's,
Matt?
I mean, like, I love John Wick, but I just
love
John Wick 3 way harder.
I'm obsessed. It was great.
A good day to John Wick.
The fighting kicks up a notch. They do some good expanding lore to the world.
The
freer John Wick.
It's really awesome.
Good.
Non-binary character, like a major character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they do an amazing job.
John Wick,
the actor who plays him. And yeah, it's just a great film. I loved it.
It's just like
I really like the John Wick
fun
movies.
Fun as fuck, dude. It's so good.
Out of the house yet?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves is. I'm pretty sure he's not gonna pass away. He's gonna just move
he's
on.
He's
gonna
transcend us.
Yeah.
He'll transcend us. I want him to lead us one day.
He's the other eternal being that was once Elvis. It's just like his next iteration.
Oh, you think he came back as Keanu? Let's check the years.
I think Keanu went back and was Elvis. I think that's actually
that's some Kingdom Hearts time travel story
That is some Kingdom Hearts story right there. I mean, it can happen. Well. That's all the time we have for tonight.
Brian David Gilbert.
So good.
Something you should yell before CR starts.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank Matt and Taliesin for joining us tonight. That
thank
took
you,
balls.
Thank you
that took fucking balls to come on this show after what you guys did Thursday. Episode 65.
Gotta do something now.
Now
fuck,
I'm gonna
got
you something to think about tonight. Episode 65 is this week. Can you believe it?
It's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be cool, man.
We are so close.
Just four more. And then what happens after four more?
I'm so excited. I don't even think we can do talks after that one.
What happens in four episodes?
I don't know what happens.
Then we
69
get to
episodes of Critical Role Campaign 2.
Oh! Nice.
I feel like.
Fuck.
Oh, God.
That was beautiful.
We've been doing this shit too long, man.
Danny, did we answer all the good questions?
Yeah.
Please don't forget to love each other. Don't worry, it's almost Thursday.
It's almost Thursday.
Stay turned responsibly.
Turned responsibly, yeah.
Creepy and a crime. Neither is D&D.
Brian's sign-off takes 20 minutes now.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you see my rap sheet.
Thank you for listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please drop a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Talks Machina airs live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.